Brethren, as I've stated before, we have been so blessed to have a better understanding of the identity of God the Father in the scriptures of the Bible. This better understanding shows that God the Father was the Yehovah of the Old Testament, that God the Father was the God of our fathers, the El Shaddai of, or God Almighty, to the patriarchs, that God the Father is the Father of His Son, Jesus Christ, that God the Father will return to this earth to be worshipped, while Jesus Christ will return to the earth to rule the earth during the millennium. And that God the Father has ruled, is ruling, and will always rule His spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. However, many people believe that in showing that this correct identification and role of God the Father, we somehow are denying Jesus Christ of His proper role in our lives, of His proper role in the past, and His proper role in the future. This is just not true. We in no way are denying Jesus Christ in any way. However, an important question that we need to ask ourselves is, how can we deny our Heavenly Father? So, brethren, in my sermon this afternoon entitled, How Can We Deny God the Father?, I'd like to explore the ways in which we can deny our Heavenly Father. To begin with, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Later in his ministry, the Apostle John wrote a warning to the church concerning people denying God the Father and Jesus Christ and denying who they were. And we can obtain a lot of information from these two specific verses. We read this in 1 John 2 and verse 22. 1 John 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father. The Greek verb for deny in these two verses is arneomai, A-R-N-E-O-M-I-A-I, A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I, which is Strong's Concordance number 720. And it means to deny or to refuse or to disavow. All of the instances of the verb in these verses appear in the middle voice in Greek. English only has two voices, the active and the passive. The active voice is used when the subject is acting upon someone or something else. Example, the dog bit the boy. The dog bit the boy. The passive voice is when the subject is being acted upon by someone or something else. Same sentence in the passive voice would be, the boy was bitten by the dog. However, Greek has another voice that English just doesn't have. And that voice is the middle voice. In his work, The Middle Voice in the New Testament by George J. Klein, Mr. Klein states, the subject of the verb in the middle voice indicates both the performer of the action and that to whom or for which the action is performed. Thus, if one wishes to speak of special attention being focused on the subject by the middle voice, it is only in the sense that the subject both performs the action and is that to whom or for which the action is performed. Thus, the middle voice is used when the subject is both the one performing the action and also the one for whom the action is being performed. The closest grammatical equivalency of the Greek middle voice in other languages is represented by the reflexive verbs. In French, I brush my teeth is said as je me brosse les dents, which literally means I brush myself the teeth. In Spanish, it would be me lavo los dientes, which literally means I wash myself the teeth. This is an action that you usually do to yourself. Reflexive verbs are made in English by including the words myself, yourself, himself, herself, ourselves, and themselves with the verb. Examples would be, he enjoyed himself at the party. I convinced myself of his sincerity. He distinguished himself above the others for the job. Each of these sentences in English would be translated in Greek in the middle voice. The middle voice in Greek makes the verb or action personal to the subject because it is being performed on the subject by the subject. In Greek, if I wanted to say, I am feeding your dogs and cats, the verb feed would be in the simple present tense, active voice. But if I wanted to say in Greek, I am feeding my own dogs and cats, I would say, I am feeding the dogs and cats, but I would use the simple present tense, middle voice, for the verb to feed. In short, the middle voice makes the verb very personal to the subject of the sentence. Subsequently, the use in the middle voice for the verb deny in 1 John 2:22 and 23 makes the denial very personal. This denial of Jesus Christ and of God the Father by the person is very, very personal. The verse means that the person is not denying Jesus Christ as the Anointed One to others as much as it means that the person is denying that fact to himself. Similarly, the use of the middle voice in verse 22 also means that the person is denying God the Father to himself. This denial is personal, more inward than outward to others. There is another verb in Greek that is translated as to deny in English. This other Greek verb for deny is aparneomai, aparneomai, which is Strong's Concordance number 533. The verb is the verb arneomai with the prefix ap on the front of it. The prefix ap means off or away from. This verb aparneomai means to deny in the sense of to disown or to repudiate or to strongly reject. This verb is also used only in the middle voice and not the active voice because of its personal nature to the subject. But the verb connotes an outward demonstration to others. An example of this verb, aparneomai, can be found in Matthew 26, verse 34. Please turn me to that verse, to Matthew 26 and verse 34. After the Passover ceremony on the last night of his physical life, Jesus forewarned Peter that he would deny him three times. And we read this in Matthew 26 and verse 34. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, though you deny, which is aparneomai, me three times. Jesus said this to Peter, and Peter would deny him to others in an outward way, which Peter later did that night. This same verb, aparneomai, is used in the parallel verses in Mark 14, verse 72, and in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. Therefore, the verb aparneomai, the first verb, aparneomai, connotes a very personal inward denial, whereas the verb aparneomai connotes a very personal outward denial to others. So, brethren, in the sermon, we will explore this very personal denial to ourselves of God the Father. And we will explore this denial in seven ways. The first way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by denying that Jesus is the Anointed One. By denying that Jesus is the Anointed One. Please turn with me again to 1 John 2 and verse 22. 1 John 2 and verse 22, where we just were. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? So what does the word Christ actually mean? This English word comes directly from the Greek word Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Which means Messiah, which has its derivation from the Hebrew word Mashiach, M-A-S-H-I-Y-A-C-H. All of these words, whether in Greek or Hebrew, simply mean the anointed one. 1 John 2:22 says that we deny our heavenly Father if we deny that His Son, Jesus, was the anointed one. Since Jesus was the anointed one, the being who appointed Jesus, anointed Jesus, was God the Father. So denying that Jesus is the anointed one is also denying that God the Father is the anointer who anointed Him. Please turn with me to Isaiah 61, where we will read of a prophecy fulfilled by the ministry of Jesus Christ when He was a human on the earth. Isaiah 61, very, very familiar verses. Isaiah 61, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Yehovah, of Adonai Yehovah is upon me, because Yehovah has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yehovah. Now please turn with me to Luke 4. Early in His ministry, Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth and read these verses. Luke 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 16. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." In verse 21, Jesus states that these scriptures were fulfilled at that point in time, on that very day. In verse 18, Jesus stated that God the Father anointed Him to preach the gospel. And Isaiah 61:1 shows that Yehovah anointed Him. So again, we have another example where the Bible clearly shows that God the Father was Yehovah. Please turn with me to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus asked His disciples who they thought that He was. The people believed many, many different things concerning Jesus, but Peter knew the truth, and he stated the truth. Luke 9, and we'll start in verse 18. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. And it came to pass, as He was alone praying, His disciples were with Him. And He asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." Again, the anointed one of the Father, the anointed one of Yehovah. The anointer is higher in authority than the one anointed. So if we believe that Jesus is equal to the Father in authority, then we are denying that God the Father, as His rightful role as anointer and as the highest being. In extension, we also deny to ourselves that our Heavenly Father anointed Jesus to be our Savior and to die for our sins and to pay the penalty for our sins so that we may have eternal life. Brethren, the second way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by denying that God the Father sent Jesus. By denying that God the Father sent Jesus. You know, brethren, there is a theme throughout Christ's ministry, in emphasizing that God the Father had sent him to perform the will of his Father. There are so many verses where Jesus said this repeatedly to his disciples and to the people. Please turn with me again to Luke 4, and we'll read again verse 18. Again, these words were read by Jesus from Isaiah 61. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Christ was saying that he had been sent by his Father. Time will not permit us to turn to each of these verses, but please write these down and read them in your own study. We'll quickly go through these verses without turning to most of them. In Matthew 10, verse 40, Matthew 10 and verse 40, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Luke 10 and verse 16. Luke 10 and verse 16. He that hears you hears me, and he that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. That was John 4 and verse 34. We'll stay here in the book of John. The book of John is as full of these verses. John 5 and verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5 and verse 30. John 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. John 5 and verse 36. John 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who has sent me, has borne witness of me. John 6 and verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. John 6 and verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eats me shall live by me. Back up in John 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up again the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John 7 and verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In John 8, 42, John 8 and verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Please turn with me to John 11. John chapter 11. Just before the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus prayed a prayer to our Heavenly Father. And in the prayer, Jesus included the reason for Lazarus' resurrection. We read this in John 11, starting in verse 41. John 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Brethren, Jesus prayed that his Father would resurrect Lazarus so that the people would believe that God the Father had sent him. Please turn with me to John 17:21. John 17:21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, and they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you and have loved them as you have loved me. Please turn with me to John 13. During the Passover service, Jesus performed a very humble act and washed the feet of his disciples. This was the lowest and one of the dirtiest jobs that a household servant would do. Afterwards, Jesus said something very significant. In John 13 and verse 15, John 13 and verse 15, For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that is sent. Jesus was referring to the fact that God the Father had sent him, and that God the Father was greater than he was. So if we deny that God the Father sent Jesus as the anointed one to this earth, and that God the Father had the greater authority to send him, then we are denying to ourselves the proper role and authority of God the Father. The third way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by living a hypocritical life. Please turn with me to Titus 1. So the third way is by living a hypocritical life. In his letter to Titus, Paul addresses the issue of professing our Heavenly Father in word, but not living the life representative of the Father. In today's terminology, we would say talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Titus 1 and verse 15. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul writes, Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. In verse 16, They profess that they know God, that they know the Father, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They talk the talk, but they do not walk the walk. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Our fellowship is with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message that we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Talking about the Father. If we say that we do have fellowship with Him, with the Father, and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not have the truth. Brethren, do we claim to have a deep relationship with our Heavenly Father and then walk in darkness and live a life not representative of and reflective of the Father? Please turn with me to 1 John 3. Do we claim fellowship with the Father and continue in a sinful life or lifestyle? 1 John 3, beginning in verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has hope, this hope in him, purifies himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abides in Him sins not, and whosoever sins has not seen Him, neither knows Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, born of the Father, does not commit sin, for His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He is born of the Father. In this, the children of the Father, or of God, are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loves not his brother. Not walking the walk. Please turn with me to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, and verse 3. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Textus Receptus includes the words ton monon despotin theon, which means the only master God. Again, the overwhelming instances of the God in the New Testament are references to God the Father. Here in Jude 1 and verse 4, the words the only master God are referring to God the Father. Therefore, by living unrighteously and hypocritically, and by turning the grace of the Father into lasciviousness, we deny God the Father and we deny Jesus Christ. Brethren, the fourth way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by loving the world and being like the world. By loving the world and being like the world. Similar to the previous way, being like the world, always trying to be a friend of the world and to fit into the world instead of fitting out. If none of our friends know that we, by our actions and by our lifestyle, are Christians and follow the way of our Father, if they don't know that we are different from the world, something is terribly wrong. Please turn with me to James 4. How close to the world and its ways are we? It's so easy to slip back into old habits, old sins, and old ways of living. James 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, or with the Father? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, of the God, of God the Father. Please turn with me to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Do we love the world and its ways? Do we find ourselves being attracted again and again to the world? Satan has made the ways of the world so enticing through modern media, entertainment, and technology. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, Satan is so effective in enticing the very elect with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do we fall for his tactics? Please turn with me to Romans 12, where Paul exhorted the members in Rome to be different from the world. Romans 12, and we'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, unto the Father, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of the Father. Brethren, do we find ourselves being pulled to conform to this world? Do we fight that pull effectively every second of every minute of every day in our lives? Brethren, if we conform to this world, if we love the ways of this world, if we imitate the world in our behavior, we are denying God the Father to have his rightful place in our lives. And we are denying his fellowship with us. Brethren, the fifth way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by forgetting him in the good times. By forgetting him in the good times. Please turn with me to Proverbs 30. Well, we will read a very short but powerful prayer that says so much about the weakness of humanity. Proverbs 30. We'll start in verse 7. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Brethren, the Hebrew word for the Lord in verse 8 is Yehovah. So praying this prayer today, we would say, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is God the Father? The Hebrew word for deny in verse 9 is kahash, K-A-C-H-A-S-H, kahash. And it's Strong's 3584. Which can mean to disown or deal falsely. This connotation of disowning is very similar to the Greek verb arnaomai, which we discussed previously. This verse shows that mankind has a distinct proclivity of disowning God the Father and forgetting him in the good times. When we don't need him, we feel like we just don't need him anymore. Brethren, do we forget God the Father in the good times, when everything is going well, when we are being totally blessed in so, so many areas and in so many ways, when we are living our lives in total comfort? Do we begin taking God the Father for granted? Do we remember him and draw close to him only when we need him, only when we're facing a severe trial, or only when we are in deep trouble? Brethren, please turn with me to Revelation 3, and we'll read about a church with this kind of attitude and relationship with our Heavenly Father. The outcome was not good. Revelation 3 and verse 14. We all know about the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, and you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, including the Father. And know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich and white raiment, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Brethren, the problem with the brethren in Laodicea was that they thought too highly of themselves, and they felt they really didn't need God the Father. They didn't realize that they were spiritually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Brethren, if we forget our Heavenly Father in the good times, if we forget Him except when we desperately need Him, then we deny to ourselves that He is our Heavenly Father at all times, who requires us to be His sons and daughters, His obedient sons and daughters at all times. Brethren, the sixth way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by denying God's Word. By denying God's Word. Please turn with me to John 12. You know, Jesus was proclaiming to the people that they would be judged by the Father if they rejected Jesus, and if they rejected His words because His words were from the Father. John 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So Jesus preached the words that God the Father gave to him. They were the words of the Father. Please turn with me to Galatians 1. Paul was warning the church concerning the perversion of the gospel that had been preached by Jesus and which had been written in God's Word, the Bible. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. "I marvel that you are so removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." They were removed from God the Father. He was the one who called them. "I marvel that you are so removed from God the Father who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but that there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Brethren, do we deny God's word proclaiming that the Bible doesn't say what it says? Or that it says what it doesn't say? Do we find ourselves saying, "I don't care what that verse says. That's not what I believe"? Please turn with me to Joshua 24. Just before his death, Joshua gathered all the leaders of Israel together to strengthen them in their resolve to follow Yehovah, our Heavenly Father. We read this exhortation in Joshua 24 and verse, starting in verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. "Now therefore fear Yehovah and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you Yehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And then the famous verse and the statement by Joshua, "But as for me and my house, we will serve Yehovah." Now let's skip to verse 22. "And Joshua said unto the people, You are witnesses against yourselves, and you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your ear unto Adonai Yehovah of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of Jehovah. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be witness unto you, for it shall be heard all the words of Jehovah which he spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Brethren, we can deny our Heavenly Father by denying the written word of the Father and by denying that the Bible says what it says. Brethren, the seventh way that we can deny God the Father to ourselves is by denying the identity of God the Father and His true role. Just as I said at the beginning of the sermon today, we have been so blessed to have a better understanding of the identity of God the Father in the Scriptures of the Bible. Let's review a few Scriptures showing that our Heavenly Father was indeed the Yehovah of the Old Testament. We have already discussed the connection between Luke 14:18 and Isaiah 61:1, which shows that God the Father was indeed Yehovah. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 12. In speaking with the Pharisees, one of the scribes asked Jesus a question, trying to trap him in an answer. In Mark 12 and verse 28, we read, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now Jesus was telling the Jews that the greatest commandment was to love God with all their heart. Jesus never claimed to be their God. Jesus claimed to be the Son of their God, and their God was Yehovah. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, and we'll read the verse that Jesus was actually quoting. This verse is known to the Jews as the Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word which is the imperative form of the verb hear. Shema is the first word in the verse in Hebrew. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, it's, hear, O Israel, Yehovah our Elohim is one Yehovah. In using this scripture, Jesus was identifying God the Father as Yehovah. He wasn't identifying himself as Yehovah. Two very important scriptures we all know are Acts 3, verse 13, and Acts 5, verse 30. Please turn with me to Acts 3. Peter preached in Jerusalem shortly after Pentecost that God the Father was Yehovah and the El Shaddai of the Old Testament, because he glorified his son Jesus. We read this in Acts 3:13. Acts 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So God the Father glorified his son Jesus, and he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Please turn with me to Acts 5 and verse 30. In preaching before the council and before the high priest, Peter boldly proclaimed that the God of our fathers resurrected Jesus, and that that God of our fathers was God the Father. Acts 5 and verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. So God the Father resurrected Jesus, and God the Father was the God of our fathers. There are actually, brethren, there are actually people who ridicule these two verses and discredit their meaning entirely. It's sad. All Jews believed that Yehovah was their God. That's one thing that made them Jews. They followed Yehovah. They knew that their God was Yehovah. Please turn with me to John 8. Jesus was having a very intense and very personal confrontation with the Pharisees. In both verses, both Jesus and the Pharisees said that God the Father was their God. John 8 and verse 41. John chapter 8 and verse 41. Jesus said, "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." So the Jews told Christ that they had one father and that one father was the God, their God, Yehovah. In John 8 and verse 54, Jesus, again, talking with the Pharisees, we read in verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." Here, Jesus acknowledges that the Jews claimed that Jesus' Father, God the Father, was their God. He didn't say that, "Hey, I'm the one you've been worshiping." The Jews claimed that Yehovah was their God, and Jesus was claiming that he was Yehovah's Son. Please turn with me to Matthew 4. After fasting 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And we read this in Matthew 4, starting in verse 6. Matthew 4, starting in verse 6. "And Satan said unto him, If you be the Son of the God, if you be the Son of God the Father, cast yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And verse 10, Then Jesus said unto him, Get you hence, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, brethren, in this discourse, Satan refers to Jesus as the Son of the God, or the Son of Yehovah. He didn't refer to Jesus as Yehovah. In answering Satan in verse 7, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16, which states, You shall not tempt Yehovah your Elohim. So Jesus was referring to his Father as being Yehovah. Jesus did not say, You shall not tempt me. He was saying, You shall not tempt my Father. Also in verse 10, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, which states, You shall fear Yehovah your Elohim and serve him. In answering Satan, Jesus refers to Yehovah in the third person singular, meaning another being besides himself, and not in the first person singular, meaning himself. Jesus did not say, You shall worship me, and only me shall you worship. Most brethren in the churches of God agree with that. Yet in extension, they really don't, because they believe that Jesus was Yehovah. There are so many more scriptures proving that God the Father was the God of the Old Testament, as well as the God of the New Testament. But these verses are continually de-emphasized, explained away, ignored, dismissed, and ridiculed by others. There are brethren who say, What difference does it make when asked about the identity of God the Father in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Brethren, the true identity of God the Father as the Yehovah of the Old Testament changes so much of the overall belief system in the churches of God. Because that identity changes so many prophecies, so many meanings of the holy days and other doctrinal beliefs. It changes the overall focus of the Bible from Jesus Christ to being focused on God the Father, as well as Jesus Christ. It is not just realized by so many that the writings of Paul were as much about God the Father as they were about Jesus Christ. Paul wrote a whole lot about God the Father. In short, the true identity of God the Father in the Bible is transformational in understanding the message of the Bible. In the history of the churches of God over the decades, many articles have been written stating that if Christians were worshiping a Jesus who was born on December 25th, who died on Good Friday, who was resurrected on Easter Sunday, who was effeminate, who had long hair, etc., 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 then they were worshiping a false Christ. They wanted the real Christ. And we all believe that. And I still believe that. However, the churches of God believe in a God the Father who didn't actually create the heavens and the earth, who stepped back from humanity and let His Son do everything with humanity, who will wait over 1,000 years to come to the earth to be with His people, whom He loves so very much, while Jesus is reigning on the earth, and who was at one time equal with Jesus in the past. Brethren, we believe that God the Father created the heavens and the earth with the help of Jesus. We believe that God the Father has had an active role with humanity ever since Adam and Eve. We believe that God the Father and Jesus Christ will return to set up Christ's government on the earth, and that God the Father will return to be worshipped during the millennium. And we believe that God the Father alone has always been supreme. We believe that God the Father has always been the king of His own kingdom. That's an eternal kingdom, and that He always will be. We believe that Jesus has always been subject to the Father, and that He always will be. Using that judgment used earlier concerning a false Christ, a question to be asked is, can people be worshiping a false God the Father? And in doing so, are people denying the real God the Father? A deep question to ponder. Brethren, we can deny God the Father in so many ways. In today's sermon, we have explored only 7 ways, and there are so many more. The 7 ways that we have studied today are: 1, we can deny God the Father by denying that Jesus is the Anointed One. 2, we can deny God the Father by denying that He sent His Son, Jesus. 3, we can deny God the Father by living a hypocritical life. 4, we can deny God the Father by loving the world and being like the world. 5, we can deny God the Father by forgetting Him in the good times. 6, we can deny God the Father by denying His Word. And 7, we can deny God the Father by denying His identity and His true role. Brethren, in the days and weeks ahead, let us renew our energies and our focus in deepening our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let us renew our energies and our focus in deepening our knowledge and understanding of our Heavenly Father. Let us renew our energies and our focus in placing God the Father in the foremost part of our lives, where we will put nothing ahead of Him, where we will always be loyal to Him, and where we will continually obey Him. And let us renew our energies and our focus in dedicating our lives to His service, just as Jesus Christ dedicated His life for Him. Brethren, I think we all believe that time is short. Crazy, unexplainable events are happening on the national and international scene. Satan knows that his time is short also. We must be diligent in drawing ever closer to our Heavenly Father and to His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. Brethren, I end this sermon with a very, very important question in your spiritual life. How will you deny God the Father?